Stewart from San Diego.
Well, Stewart, I'm an alcoholic. For the grace of God, huh? I'm sure glad they told me tonight instead of a week ago. Let me tell you. So, once again, my name's Stewart. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is August 3rd, 07. I have about 14 months of sobriety, and actually I have 14 months of recovery. I have a home group, which is, I have two actually, Midweek Men's or Monday Night Live. A little bit what it was like, what happened and what it's like now was my first drink, I must have been 6 years old at a boat race, walking around and finishing off everybody's beer. And as everybody's laughing, watching the little kid run around, you know, like I was sneaking it and no one saw me. And, you know, and then it went into, you know, then I, in elementary school, I always felt uncomfortable. And my brother had a keg party. And he's 4 years older than me, so everything was real open to me. And, you know, they were out back smoking pot. And they gave some to me. And for the first time in my life, I was comfortable. You know, first time in my life at sixth grade, I was comfortable. You know, an old kid. And after that, you know, it was always there. And the alcohol was always there. I learned how to put water in my parents' booze out of the bar. You know, I learned what Galliano was or something in the big tall bottles. And that's what I did. And I took it to school, and I was the big shot. And all of a sudden, I had friends that I didn't. I had friends before, but I didn't know it. But now I had something that they wanted. And I got into that crowd of the stoners. And there's a lot of substance abuse in my life, and I consider that alcoholism. Because if certain people here just drank, I did both, you know, and so I call myself an alcoholic because I have that behavior, you know, and all the way through elementary school, junior high school was all about partying before school, partying during school through the 70s, and partying after school. That's what it was, you know, we were the stoners, and I didn't mind that label, you know. The guys getting good grades in school, we didn't want to be them. You know, while they're being taught about life, what to do when you turn 20, we're just partying all the time. You know, I had a conversation with my sister one time real quick, and she goes, well, our parents, you know, raised us real well. I feel my parents just provided for me because they were divorced, and my friends were the people that I could party with in the canyons. And it picked up through the 80s, and the whole time I just felt different. You know, if I could bring the stuff and go to the 7-Eleven here at San Diego State, right where I live, and ask someone to buy us two cases of beer, you know, and they would do that for us. And to get on a bus and go to Balboa Park, you know, that's what we did. And hey, Stewart's got the stuff. And that's what I, you know, so I had an identity, you know. Without it, I felt I didn't have an identity. And, you know, all the way through school, we ended up going to continuation school, and through the whole time, just partying. You know, got a job at 18 in the restaurant business, and at 18, I was full bore going, you know, because I had the stuff and I had no self-esteem. And I didn't know anything about what self-esteem was. You know, I didn't know that you're supposed to, at 18, 20, you know, get a wife and have kids and everything else. But my friends went and did that. I stayed with the partiers, and this is what we did. And I had a very nice girlfriend, and we partied all the time. And someone else came in my life, and I thought that would be better. And so I let that go and got involved in this. And after we got married, she just stopped, and I kept going. Because I had no idea that I was supposed to stop and have kids, and this is what you're supposed to do. You know, once again, it was fear. Fear of, I had no responsibility. Fear, I'm still learning what the hell fear is. You know, sat down with the family at, you know, at 24, you know, and going, you know, with the parents all there and everybody, and they said, you're going to go to McDonald's? Okay, cool. So I went in there for 30 days, felt good, gained weight, got out, and they try to teach you about recovery. You know, they give you a big book, which I never read. And this is what recovery is. You know, you go to meetings, and you get a sponsor, and that's what you do for recovery. But I never knew what recovery was. And so I got out, went back to work with my family, and nobody changed. You know, everybody is still going on and on and on, and everybody's still a jerk, and so I just went right back to drinking again. And got fired from that job and just kept drinking, you know, and just partying all the way through because I didn't know what recovery was. You know, I hung out, I went to the 10-day program, which I thought that would get my wife back and everyone in the family would come back. I got out of there and kept drinking. But I saw what you guys had, a few of you. I came, when I first came to meetings, I saw the guys with 20 years, and I go, I'm not going to sit in these meetings for 20 goddamn years. You know, get a life. That was my reaction. You know, get a freaking life. And I didn't go back to meetings. I moved to L.A., and I didn't know anybody, but I knew meetings, so I hung out in meetings while I was drinking and using because I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. But for some reason, I knew to go to meetings to do something. And, you know, I got clean and sober in 1990 for 2 years. Didn't work any steps. Met somebody, and recovery was done. I don't have to sit in these rooms. She's my higher power now. And that was an unhealthy relationship for 15 years. And after that, I opened my own business, and I still had fear. I still didn't know how to act. I still didn't know how to grow up. I still didn't know how to take responsibility. And then I woke up going, I can't do this anymore. So I went back to a meeting, and it was Monday Night Live in La Mesa. And I went, sat through the meeting, and they read the promises. And I go, that's what I want. And I love the promises. You know, I'm done. I know what you guys have that are sitting in these meetings for 20 years. I know what it feels like to have a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening or a change of behavior, however you want to put it. You know, because I want it for myself now. In 1984, it was for my family. In 1990, when I had 2 years, it was so I could show my family that I was good and I can go back to work for them because it was easy for me. I didn't have to grow up, you know. And when I turned 48, you know, it was like, you know, I can't do this anymore. All the hard stuff stopped when I was 35, but I kept really drinking alcohol. You know, alcohol is through the whole thing of just, you know, trying to get along. And towards the end, at the end, and for the last 20 years, it wasn't about taking it to be the guy that had the stuff. It was, let me have the stuff and the alcohol so I could stay at home and not have to deal with anybody. You know, and you wake up one day and you have no friends. Well, you don't know what a friend is. You know, I just didn't know. I knew how to clean myself up. I knew how to go to work. I don't know how to talk to anybody. I don't know any of that. You know, everything is your fault. But I've learned now what recovery is all about. You know, I love recovery. You know, I love waking up in the morning with a smile on my face. It's not easy. You know, I don't have a desire to drink. I'll go for weeks at times where life is just hunky-dory, and I have a saying that when people go, you know, how's life? I treat life well. Life, thank you. Life might treat me like shit, but I treat life well. And I know what you guys have that are sitting here for 20 years, and I want it. So thanks for letting me share.